Welcome to another SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor. Today, we're talking about data quality. As I've heard time and again, keeping data clean, current, and accurate is a major challenge. But the way that organizations are approaching this information quality challenge is changing. While past efforts may have centered on periodic batch data cleansing activities, experts now suggest that information quality must be an ongoing, enterprise-wide discipline to be truly effective. But getting from periodic batch cleansing to a true enterprise data quality program is not easy. Aside from the technical challenges, there are strategies to develop, executives to approach, teams to build, and organizational culture changes to consider. Where does an organization start? To learn more, we turn to Larry English, founder of Brentwood, Tennessee-based Information Impact International and developer of the Total Information Quality Management Methodology. Larry English is an internationally recognized speaker, educator, author, and consultant in the knowledge management and information quality improvement fields. His company, Information Impact International, provides consulting and education for information quality in a variety of related disciplines. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us again today, Larry.
Well, it's my pleasure, Hannah, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's get right into it. Why is it important to have an enterprise-wide information quality strategy versus just having IT run some periodic batch cleansing processes?
Well, I will tell you this. It is vitally important. When we come to discover that we have information quality problems, and that can come in a number of ways, first of all, people may have some embarrassing news stories, or they may have legal problems caused by the defects in their information that calls attention to the problem in maybe one business area. And the reason it's critical to have an enterprise-wide information quality focus is the fact that most of the information quality problems are simply considered a normal part and cost of doing business. The fact of the matter is that quality management teaches us that the cost of process failure and scrap and rework, whether manufacturing or information, are not normal costs of doing business. They're costs that are caused precisely because we have not error-proofed our processes to capture information with the quality needed to support all of the processes that require that information. And oftentimes, these costs remain hidden from executives, the people who have the power and the authority to establish an enterprise-wide quality strategy, simply because they don't go around to Gemba where the problems are occurring and where people are having to do their own hunting and chasing for information or verifying and fixing it or extracting information from multiple sources to put it into an Excel spreadsheet or an Access database so they have access to quality information simply because they can't trust the information in their production systems or can't get access to the information that they need. So generally, you start your function somewhere in the organization where people are feeling the pain of the problem. Sometimes that's in a small area. Sometimes it's even done as a part-time activity in conjunction with other activities that someone may carry. But whatever the cost from the particular problem that draws attention to the need for quality management is just simply the tip of the iceberg. And organizations may be squandering as much as from 15% to more than 20% of their operating revenue is going to fund the hunt and chase, the verify and fix, the scrap and rework activities, and recovering from the process failure. So it can be incredibly expensive, and so there's a huge opportunity of return when we implement an enterprise-wide information quality strategy. So you must have a plan to grow whatever level of information quality functionality that you are permitted to perform. And while you're doing that, know that you have a long-term need to transform the culture of the organization in order to do this. While you're implementing the information quality principles and processes, wherever you have the ability to implement that.
So that just gave me a clue about how you might answer the next question. Is enterprise-wide information quality something you can manage with a software tool? Can you just put some technology on the network to look for problems and solve them?
Well, it's important to use information technology that we do have to help us with the information quality problems. But no, it is not sufficient just to buy some software, drop it in, and expect it to solve the problems for us. There are a number of different categories of functionality that our technology helps us with, such as the assessment tools that help us measure the quality of information in a variety of categories, such as how much missing information, what kind of duplication problems do we have, what about the validity, do we have valid values, and do we have conformance to the business rules. So our technologies can help us in this area, but this is only part of what we need in order to have a real enterprise-wide information quality program. So the things that we really need to solve our quality problems are to understand what are the real principles of a sound quality management system that can be applied to information. So TIQM, my methodology, is based upon the principles that are found in Deming's 14 points of quality, the Kaizen continuous improvement quality system that was created by Masaki Amai and is used very, very widely in Japan and in many U.S. manufacturing companies. The principles of the Baldrige and the principles of Dr. Juran and Philip Crosby, his zero defects concepts, these are the principles that we need to understand and implement in our organizations if we are going to truly solve the information quality problem. So we need to understand what the processes are of quality management and what are the cost categories when we do data cleansing. Data cleansing is not, for example, a cost of proactive quality management. It is a cost that we incur precisely because we have the degree of defects we have that are causing the failure and the scrap and rework to address it as a one-time fix. And then we need to understand, relative to the software that we have, what are the strengths of the information quality software capabilities in assessment and in data cleansing, and then what are the limitations that those technologies have? Because we need to implement things that will overcome those limitations and prevent, for example, instances where a data cleansing product may come in and actually uncorrect a correct value. For example, when I started my programming career, I worked with George Davis, and all of the software cleansing that does gender assignment would tell you that George is a male and the preferred title would be Mr. However, George Ann Davis was not a male. She was a woman, and she was always curiously intrigued by the fact that her gender would be misaligned and people would call her by Mr., but that was the reality. And so our software cannot differentiate those Georges who are men from those Georges who may be women. So there are a number of anomalies where the software just cannot be programmed to differentiate between certain correct values from those values that are not correct.
So that all said, what are the essential components of a true enterprise-wide information quality program?
The first thing is you need to have a mission that is oriented to enabling your business mission. So you need a business-driven approach to your mission statement. So the real problem that we have with the information quality problems are that it causes our processes to fail and keeps us from effectively accomplishing the mission of the enterprise. So always remember that we must approach this as a business problem. That is, the defects cause the business processes to fail. And it is a business solution that we must create to enable us to overcome these problems. It means that we need a partnership within the IT community and the business community to solve these problems together. We need a vision, then, of what would it look like if once we have solved our information quality problems. Looking 5 to 10 years down the horizon, what will it look like when we have improved our processes so that we don't have the defects that are causing our processes to fail as they are today? And then this is going to be an enormous task, but we accomplish it by incrementally involving everybody in the enterprise, taking a project at a time that we have the scope of control to implement and measure the extent of quality problems in high priority information that have high cost of, and risks of failure when it's wrong, and then measuring those costs and risks, then improving that process, coming back and measuring the new state of cost of the failure based upon the reduction in the defects so that we can calculate our return on the investment. So these are things that we need to do. Our goal of an information quality endeavor and function is to eliminate the waste and the cost of process failure and information scrap and rework that is caused by defective information that is currently produced at the rate it is by the status quo. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we need to understand the principles of quality management that are founded based upon the work of Deming and Juran and Crosby and the other quality thought leaders that changed and transformed the manufacturing world and the economics of manufacturing. As we implement our information quality function, we must focus on our information consumers, the information customers, those knowledge workers who depend on information to do their jobs. If the data is wrong or missing, or if they do not understand the meaning of the data and there's no way to find out the definition and have and see a good definition of the meaning of that data, people can make mistakes, make the wrong decision, or take the wrong action in their work. When we measure information quality, then we must measure the characteristics that are important to the information customers. When you ask your information customers what quality characteristics they need or what they need out of their information, they generally will tell you, I need accuracy, I need completeness, I need timeliness of information. Well, when we measure accuracy, this is not the same thing as a software product that can measure conformance to valid values and to the business rules. That's a measure of validity, and it should approximate accuracy, but we cannot guarantee accuracy even by implementing the very business rules that are one of our preemptive and preventative information quality actions. That will only guarantee conformance to those business rules, but not necessarily accuracy. Now, the next thing that you must measure is really the business case, and that is, what are the costs of failure when we do not have information quality? This is important because this is generally the mechanism by which most management will measure the effectiveness of a program, our ability to eliminate the costs that are unnecessary, and what costs are more unnecessary than the cost of failure when we don't have correct information. So if we have correctly defined and correct information that doesn't cause the processes to fail, we eliminate the hunting and chasing, the verifying and fixing, and the having to extract information out of multiple data sets in order for me to combine it together and be my own data manager so that I can do whatever my business job is supposed to be. Now, once you measure the cost of poor quality information in a given process, then you take and analyze the nature of the defects that are causing that to understand what are the root causes. What are the root causes that are causing these information defects? Sometimes it will be procedural. We have defective process definitions. We don't have training in the process so people know how to capture the information with quality. Sometimes the root causes are systemic. There are no implementations of the business rules that can eliminate those categories of validity problems because we don't have a check for the validity test itself. Now, when we measure these costs, we need to then understand the root causes. We analyze then what improvements will help us eliminate the causes of those defects. things that are procedural we can fix by improving the process itself to add checklists or verification by the information producer themselves to double check their work. If it's systemic, we can make improvements to add those business rules to verify the validity of the data, or take software packages that have the same kinds of routines that they use in data cleansing. And many of the software providers now allow you to have exits from an application that is the create point for data to access those routines to test the validity rules that you can define in those software information quality software engines. So these are defect prevention type capabilities. Then once you improve that and you verify that the improvements have worked and don't create negative side effects, then you can come back and remeasure the costs now from the new state. With the reduction in the instances of defects, now you can measure the return on your investment. You take the one-time costs of the process improvement activity itself, and then looking at horizon of a cost of ownership time period that your management would look at for investments like this. It might be 5 years or 7 years or 10 years, and then compute the cost savings by preventing the failure that you were incurring in the prior state of the level of quality that you had in that information. Then you take any incremental increase in cost of performing the current process. I may spend a couple of more minutes in the transaction to verify the information, or we may have additional calls and processing to verify the validity rules from our software. So that incremental cost is a part of the new cost of ownership, but we should see a significant reduction from the cost of the failure to other processes that this particular process is producing the information for. So that's the business case for continuing the support within your information quality function. Now, you also need to have a training program because this training is not just for the information quality team, but ultimately it needs to be rolled out, and you need training for every employee in the company, both your information producers and knowledge workers, but also in your business managers, because they will be the first point of accountability for the information. So an enterprise-wide information quality program will have what I call managerial information stewardship. Every manager is accountable for information quality that is produced by his or her staff, and they're accountable not just to their upline management, but they are accountable to their peer managers whose staff depend on the information that my staff is producing. So that's the first level of accountability that needs to be implemented. Now, technically, it should be implemented from the top of the organization and driven down to the line managers. But sometimes we have to implement this in the form of stewardship contracts, manager, line manager to line manager, and then ultimately elevate that to a point where it's part of managers' job descriptions and their accountabilities, just like they're accountable for how they spend their money to accomplish their objectives and how they develop and manage and utilize their staff to accomplish their objectives. The executive leadership team will ultimately need to become the ultimate information governance steering team. Oftentimes, organizations are not able to get to access to the executive leadership team as they're implementing their information quality functions. And if this is the case, what you do is you need to look for the highest level management you do have access to, who understands and is feeling the pain. Work with them, help them become successful by helping them solve their problems, and then they can become your ally to help communicate your message to their circle of influence And ultimately, you can get into the executive office to make this happen at that executive leadership team level. So these are some of the ongoing things and components that need to be in place to make this happen. Now, let me come back to that accountability. When you start to implement accountability in management, you need to be aware that there's going to be a fear factor here and there will be resistance. So what you have to do is allow a ramp-up time from the time that you identify that managers will be being held accountable. And during that ramp-up time period, which might be a year, you provide the training, you help deliver the resources that will enable managers to successfully be able to comply with that accountability. And then likewise, your managers need to provide the resources and training to their own staff who are producing the information so that they likewise are capable of delivering quality information, capturing it, verifying it, so that we minimize the defects that are at the capture point.
A wealth of information there. Practically speaking, how should companies structure information quality programs or departments? What kinds of skills need to be on the teams? Do they sit in IT or business? How do people set these up?
Well, I tell you, I've seen a variety of ways that they've been set up. And generally, the information quality teams will exist in some part of the organization that is feeling the pain. Now, about half of my clients, the information quality function is in the IT area. But the other half have implemented their information quality team in their business areas. So it depends on whoever is feeling the pain and where there is some support for making it happen and addressing it. So it really doesn't matter where you start your information quality organizational unit, whether it's a part of an existing function or it is an information quality focused unit in and of itself. But what is important is to put in place all of those foundational stepstones that I mentioned earlier so that it is not only sustainable, but also is perceived as delivering business value by measuring the cost of poor quality before and after our process improvements to demonstrate the real tangible value that's being produced. Now, some of the key skill sets that you have to have, again, a core competency is process improvement. So a very critical required set of personnel will be those facilitators of process improvement. So process improvement facilitators. They will not go around and do the information quality improvements, but they will facilitate among information producers who actually perform the work to help them identify and discover the root causes. You see, a principle of quality is people who do the work tend to know what the problems are, and given an opportunity and being empowered, they will identify the problems and can overcome and improve the processes to prevent the defects. So we want to exploit our people's value, those people who do the work, to solve their problems. Now, there's actually a second problem that is accomplished by involving information producers to improve their own processes. Once they define the improvements, because they're performing the work, they have a new pride in the value that they're delivering with their improvements. So they are quite happy to continue and in a continuous improvement process, make those improvements because it eliminates waste and it increases their value to the enterprise. And it increases their sense of pride so that their morale is overall is increased. Now, organizations will tend to see their organizational units either being elevated or migrated to coexist with other quality systems. And this is generally going to be the case. The organizations will see that grow as in proportion to how they deliver value to the enterprise. So always a focus and an objective is for the information quality team to see itself as being an organization that seeks to and actually accomplishes the reduction in the cost of failure and information scrap and rework.
Now, where should a company start when developing an enterprise information quality strategy? Can you outline some of the steps that a company might take to move, you know, toward this strategy? What are some of just the initial first things they should do?
Yeah, well, some of the first things that you need to do are identify some of the significant problems that are on the horizon and on the radar of the executives. So the first thing that you want to do is to solve a problem that is a real business problem. So you kind of have to do some exploration and hunting and looking for where you can find people who have information quality problems that are also problems that would be recognized in the executive office. Identify your mission and vision in a way that aligns with the enterprise mission so that the wording of your information quality mission is that we enable and enhance the effectiveness of our company to, and then whatever the company or organization mission is, to accomplish that mission. And we do it by, and here are the tangible steps that will be done by the information quality function, by identifying quality problems and measuring, but not measuring, but improving the processes to eliminate the waste and the cost of failure and the cost of information scrap and rework so that people can focus on their value work. So we need to have and start by thinking what this might look like if it is defined by the chief executive officer, the CEO of the organization. Now, coming right down to it, we want to take the steps and understanding how to measure accuracy and not just validity, so that we can understand the real problems that our knowledge workers are facing. And then measuring the cost and improving the processes based upon first understanding what the root causes are so that we can eliminate the root causes and not just the precipitating causes. If we focus only on the precipitating causes, we will subsequently controvert our goal. We will suboptimize at best the improvement, and at worst, the improvement will utterly fail, not be implemented or not work, and continue to see or simply rearrange how the defects show up. So that's why we have to address the root cause. So we need to be skilled and understand how to conduct a physical accuracy assessment by comparing the data to the real-world object. In one of the airlines, for example, they wanted to measure the accuracy of the weights that were on the packages that they shipped along with moving the people on their airline. And so they took a sample of packages, measured them on a calibrated scale, compared that to the reported weight reported by their customers who were shipping the packages, and they found a significant number of packages that were outside an acceptable variation of the weight for that package. And because the packages, the cost of shipment, that cargo shipment is based in part by the weight, they found that twice as often when the weight was outside the normal variation, the weights were understated as opposed to overstated. And that airline was losing some $12 million a year as a result of those errors over and above what they were receiving from the overstated weights. So that was a significant loss. So they actually improved their process for how they got that information and with their customers. So we have to understand, again, to where do we start? We need to start with our customers to understand their needs. And our goal is to help them be successful by identifying the causes of the problems in that information, improving the processes through their information producers, and then measuring the return on the investment as they make each improvement. That's where you get the sustainability for your program.
So we've sort of touched on this throughout this conversation, but organizational support, I understand, is very important for these initiatives to succeed. Are there any tips that you can offer for how to build this kind of organizational support for your information quality program?
I'll tell you how one of the CIOs who made this happen effectively at his organization, he said when he went to this company, he went to his senior VP every day. And he said, every day I was in his office listening to him, tell me what your problems are. Tell me what your problems are. And once he finally felt he really understood his boss, he came back and said, here's how I believe we can help you. And then they implemented one of the finest examples of an information managed environment that had shared databases. Every knowledge worker and just about every knowledge worker in the company had either a terminal or workstation access to their production information. He was able to deliver applications rapidly. There was no application backlog in their shop. They were going out looking for new applications. High productivity by their information system staff in delivering new applications for them. And the key, he said, was I understood my executive. And when I understood my executive and turned around and shared with him how we could help, then we were on a mission to accomplish that. And it's true in all aspects. If we're going to succeed, we need to understand our customers. What are the quality characteristics our customers really need, and help them measure to understand the state, measure the costs, improve the processes, come back, measure the return on the investment, so that when we communicate, we really are communicating the things that the business expects and needs for value.
Once an information quality program is in place, you have your team built and your strategy in place, what should organizations be aware of as they try to maintain enterprise-wide information quality for the long haul? Are there things to watch out for?
Well, yes, absolutely there are. There's some key things. What you want to be sure that you do is use the Pareto concept for your information quality initiatives. So you want, and the Pareto principle is, we've popularized it as the 80-20 rule. 20% of our processes deliver 20% of the value, or 20% of our processes create 20% of the cost of poor quality from the failure that they cause. And so we want to take the most important things and start at the top and then move to the next most important, to the next most important, so we keep delivering value. Ultimately, you need to seek ways, if you don't have direct access to the executive office, you need to seek ways to get your message to the executives. What can happen is you can have a change in management, and somewhere where your champion has been, you no longer have that champion, and a new executive may want to establish their mark, and so they're going to take a clean slate and start over, and you may see the program go away. This will be more difficult, however, to send you away if you have been measuring and are able to document the cost savings that you have by doing the process improvement initiatives as you find the problems. You want to educate. You have to educate because information quality management really means a transformation of management, both IT management as well as business management. You see, the existing issues that we have are a result of the current status quo, how the company is managed and how the work is performed. So we cannot get ourselves out of this on a permanent basis without transforming the culture. What are the business performance measures that are causing people to go for speed as opposed to quality? Whenever we go for speed, mistakes happen, errors occur, and that costs the scrap and rework downstream. So our goal is to focus on creating quality, taking a little extra time to do it right, because the cost of failure is 10 times the amount that the cost of prevention is. That's our experience and our measurements. continue to measure the cost of poor quality, using the official figures that your company uses for its cost of labor, the cost per hour of a person time. And you need to know if that includes benefits. Does it also include overhead, such as facilities and equipment, that are associated with a given person? If not, then you want to identify, for full-time equivalent staff, what is their cost of facilities and equipment associated with them? Because if you have 40 people whose job full-time equivalents is performing information scrap and rework, then you have 40 people's office and equipment costs that are also part of your cost of poor quality information. Are there any materials that are consumed, such as sending out letters or catalogs where you have duplicates and you have excess cost of the materials and the postage? How much of that is consumed? And that is associated with that cost of failure also in address or duplicate customer information. So these costs are critical, and you need to be communicating these costs upline, so that the executives who will be your source of continued existence keep that on the horizon, and you continue to deliver value. Find ways to make your principles of quality management part of your company's value system, so that it becomes part of the culture, and you can transform then any personnel changes, especially at the top of the enterprise, where support could be withdrawn simply because somebody new comes in is not aware of what's happening and the value that you are delivering.
Thank you again for speaking with us today, Larry English. To learn more about Larry or Information Impact International, please visit the website infoimpact.com. Another recommendation from Larry is that the International Association for Information and Data Quality is full of other data quality, information quality professionals. Their website is iaidq.org. Thank you again.
My pleasure, Hannah. It's good to be with you.
To learn more about information quality, check out all of our resources on searchdatamanagement.com, including a podcast about data quality trends, also featuring Larry English. Or check out a podcast about data governance trends, data integration, master data management, or many other data management topics. We also have data quality case studies, articles about tools and technology, and plenty of other resources. And if you have a data quality question of your own, pose it directly to our data quality expert. You can find the link to the Ask the Expert section, along with all kinds of other data quality resources, on the page where you downloaded this podcast. Or just head to searchdatamanagement.com and check out our podcast library. And you'll find the link to this podcast, as well as all of those other resources as well. Once again, I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor. You've been listening to a searchdatamanagement.com podcast. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.